What happens when a chapter of your life closes or changes? How do we as women process the change and acknowledge our feelings and emotions? It's something all of us experience sometime in our life in one fashion or another. Today, we're talking about closure and how it helps us to heal and move forward after a significant event or relationship in your life. I'm Victoria Griffin, and this is the Unstoppable Women Podcast. First off, what is closure? Closure is the ending of something, but it can also lead to a new beginning. It's letting go, but yet embracing what the future holds. Closure is not always our choice, but that is why acceptance is so important in the process of healing. What we can control, though, is our response and our future actions. Those who have experienced closure can confirm that it is a journey. Sometimes it's a journey that we don't necessarily choose, but we have to take. Joining us today is Sister Vicki Smith, a woman who has experienced loss in the form of widowhood. And I'd like to add that she is a woman that I admire for her faithfulness and for her example on how to be unstoppable for Christ. So welcome to the podcast today, Sister Smith.
Thank you.
I want to start off by saying, among our listeners today, we may have fellow widows who have lost their companion like you have. And as you know, there is no age attached to when one might experience this. I feel like you're a good example of one who could share with us your experiences and how you dealt with that loss. So my first question is, how long have you been a widow and how did you process that change in your life?
As of right now, it's just a little over 9.5 years. Processing the change, I don't know if that's probably a ongoing thing, but I just have to say that the Lord is always, always there.
Yes.
He supplies every need.
You know, saying that, it reminds me of this scripture that says, it's Jeremiah 49:11. It says, "Leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me."
Love it.
Yes, it's so good. He lets us know. He's going to comfort us. He's going to be with us. So building on that, how did you grow from that grief, grow in Christ and in that journey?
Anyone who knew my husband... Sorry.
No, it's okay.
They knew he was a man of prayer. Yeah. And I trusted his prayers so much. And it wasn't until he was gone that I guess I realized how much I leaned on him.
Sure.
I've served the Lord since I was 8 years old. I always knew he supplied every need. But after my husband was gone, I've realized that he and I both, I've said this several times lately, he and I both thought that he was my protector and that he was my provider, but I have learned that it wasn't him. It's been the Lord all along, and God has been so faithful. And since my husband's been gone, I have, my prayer life has grown greatly. I haven't had my husband's prayers to rely on it. And I thank God for the closeness that I have had with the Lord. I've collapsed into a puddle of tears all over my house, pretty much every room of my house. I have just fallen to my knees and called out to God, and he's never failed to meet me there.
He is so faithful.
Always.
In those quiet times, like you said, your prayer life, that's so beautiful that you can, it was just you, you know, mm-hmm. and you had to have that time with the Lord. And he, like you said, he is our strength in mm-hmm. those times of weaknesses.
I've had prayers that I never, ever experienced before.
Yeah. Closure can be fearful because we don't know what the future holds. What are some of your fears and how did you overcome those fears?
I shouldn't say never, but for many decades, I haven't had a fear like of being alone, of staying alone or being in the house alone, or I haven't ever struggled with those kinds of fears. And honestly, when Brother Smith was sick and he was concerned that maybe he wasn't going to survive, I was just convinced he was going to be healed. But even I remember telling him shortly before he died, he was worried what would happen to me financially. He just was sure that I would have to sell the house and survive on the equity of the house as long as I could. And I didn't know if that, I didn't worry about that. I don't think I have ever for a moment worried how God would take care of me financially, even though there was no money in sight. We didn't have any insurance, and he had opted out of Social Security. Some people very upset that he had done that, but you can do that as a minister. And we had decided at a young age that we just didn't want to be tied to the government to be our provider. And so we opted out just thinking there's no retirement in the ministry anyway, and God will provide. And we've survived on very little money. Most of our marriage we did. And I never worried about money ever. And God, of course, now has just blessed me abundantly, for which I'm so thankful. I don't know what my fear would be. Loneliness has been my biggest struggle, I would say.
He really does bring us through our sorrow and our loss. And something that you said that stood out to me was, you know, every need supplied. Mm-hmm. That's a song I think we both love.
Yes.
You know, I find myself singing that song all the time.
Yep.
No matter.
Me too.
It just fits. Every need supplied. And I think you can say that that has been your testimony.
Absolutely. God. Absolutely.
Yes. Every needs healing, cleansing.
Yes. Sweet peace inside.
Amen.
Yes.
And that's what God does. And in those moments when we need to find closure, what we're talking about, God brings the closure. He brings the peace, the comfort that we need.
I remember last year when that was the song of the ladies' retreat, and I just wanted to get up in front and say, all the widows, sing with me.
Yes.
Every need supplied.
Amen. And I hope that's something our listeners can take from this too. God has special promises, I think, for the fatherless and for the widow. Can you speak on that? Special promises that God you've seen in your life, in this new chapter in your life, or is there any that you've seen God come through?
Well, first of all, I didn't realize how many verses there are in the scripture that talks about widows and orphans. And I think it's possible that every time, maybe, if not almost every time, they are linked. The widows and the orphans are mentioned together, and I have come to realize that God has a special place in his heart for widows and orphans. Like, we are a special category that he really, really loves. He loves everybody,
right?
But I feel like he loves us best. He has made special promises to us.
He has.
For which I'm so thankful. And I don't know at what point in the interview or whatever to mention this, but there was a time when I had to get a car. I don't know anything about cars. And I knew I had to get rid of what I had and get something else. And I was just, it tore me up. I don't have any relatives nearby. I don't have anyone to help me out. And as a woman, I lived in the past as far as cars. I didn't even know what cars are available and what to do. And we were in revival, and I was sick with maybe that's my fear, cars. What do I do? And I went down to the altar during that revival, and I was just praying, God, what do I, you know, I just don't know what to do. I don't even know where to start. And I was devastated. And my Bible accidentally came open to Isaiah 54. And the first verse that, I mean, my eye just went to this verse and it said, "Fear not." Well, immediately I had, he had my attention. He says, "For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded." And boy, was I confounded. "For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker," maker is with a capital M, "for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." And I felt like God was just saying, "Don't worry about it. I got your car. I'll take care of this." And he did. I can't even remember the details of how it happened, but that has been a special assurance to me. And I have shared that same verse with a lot of widows since. It's a growing club that nobody wants to be a part of. But I do want to be an encouragement to the other widows that right. God will supply every need. He's right there. And he has just... I encourage him to look up all the verses in the Bible that talks about widows. And he doesn't like people who are mean to widows or orphans. And he's going to get them.
Yes. Well, that's a beautiful story and a beautiful testimony. God has truly seen you through.
Absolutely.
Yes. A point I want to talk about is, you've probably heard the saying, the only way out is through. Would you agree that acceptance in going through it is a crucial step for closure?
Yeah. It doesn't do any good to, I guess, feel sorry for yourself and, well, how come that woman got to be married longer than me? Or why did my husband die? None of those things are beneficial, and they are all actually detrimental. And besides that, I think that it is accusing God of not being faithful or not being fair. And so, yeah, he can bring us through the thing. Yes. And I have said that the hardest times in our lives, our hardest battles is when we are in the furnace of affliction, if you want. But I think of the three Hebrew children. When they were in the furnace, Jesus was touchable close. And when I've been in my hardest, hardest times, I have felt the Lord touchable close. Nothing can compare with that.
Yes. He is our fourth man in the fire.
Yeah.
Every single time. What is the best thing that someone can say to a grieving widow?
I don't know that there is a best thing, because everybody is different. And what might be a blessing to me might just really be hurtful to another widow.
Sure.
And she might think, well, that's just, you know, that's really rude. Or I don't know what to say. And I don't even say to other widows, usually I can't ever say I understand, because everybody processes differently. I just I'm praying for you. I'm sorry for your loss, and I'm praying for you. I don't know that you can go wrong with that one. Surely nobody's going to be mad about that.
Maybe that's the best thing to always say.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sorry for your loss, mm-hmm. and I'm praying for you.
And I think, you know, knowing that someone is truly on their knees seeking the Lord for you,
yes,
that's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful.
Well, and I too can say that since I became a widow, I have made it a point to pray for the widows in the Church of God, the widows and the widowers in the Church of God. They yes. are part of my daily prayer, because especially for me in the beginning, I knew I had hundreds of people, and I could feel their prayers. And I just wanted to turn around and pray for those that maybe don't have hundreds of people praying right. for them. So I do pray for them still every day. God bless them. May they feel your presence and meet every need.
Yes. What do you think is something that widows struggle with, and what can you maybe say to those widows who are listening to this podcast and feel the struggle of the loss?
Whatever it is that anyone is struggling with, get in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. That is the answer. It's not a cop-out. There are answers in God's Word. Search the Word of God. Research stuff. If you're struggling with fear, look up all the verses on fear. If it's loneliness, look up those verses. If it's, I don't even know what some other things are. I don't know. But whatever it is, stay in the Word of God. And be faithful.
Yes.
Be faithful to church. My husband died at 2 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I was in church at 11 o'clock. And again at 6 o'clock that night. It's like that's where my answer is.
Yes.
If I want God to be faithful to me, I got to be faithful to Him. It's not unconditional. There's an if for all of the promises in the Bible. If you obey all my commandments, then all these blessings are going to come upon you. And if you don't, then all these curses are going to overtake you. Mm-hmm. So be faithful to God. Stay in the Word.
A verse I want to mention is John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm sure you can tell us, Sister Smith, has not our unstoppable God come to you?
Many, many times. Absolutely. And sometimes it's in the form of other people. Many times just, again, in reading the Word of God, it's like a scripture will just all of a sudden pop out like it was neon lights. Like, I wrote this for you.
Yeah.
This is yours.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for being here with us today. I've enjoyed so much hearing your story, your testimony, and I think you're a true example of how God has just taken you by the hand and led you through.
God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Yes.
We've learned today that closure is a journey, but it is one that is possible through the help of God. Just as we learned through our interview today, from one who has experienced closure, it can be achieved. Closure is unique to every person, and it comes in different forms and fashions. But closure begins with you, and it's a partnership with God. You and God got this.